There are about 20 species of frogs in Indiana.
Each species has a species-specific call.
That's Emily Stulick, a recent IPFW master's graduate. She studied amphibians here at Eagle Marsh in Fort Wayne for the past 2 years.
So the spring peeper has this high peeping sound.
That's the one you can hear behind us, before we even made our way into the wetland.
The coarse frog call, they've said sounds like you're running your thumb across the edge of a fine-tooth comb. So it has this kind of high-pitched trill.
As we hike, Stulick mentions one more species she didn't hear at this site 2 years ago, but did hear last year. It's one of the few frog species in Indiana of special concern. That's just one step away from endangered.
Well, I'm hoping we'll hear the northern leopard frog. That has a really soft, kind of guttural, groany call.
We tromp through water about halfway up our shins to get a better listen at the first wetland.
Why do frogs make noise? What are they doing when they're making noise?
The males are advertising to the females. They are saying, come get me. They are using their calls to attract females. They have done studies that show that females will mate with the males that have the longest, loudest calls.
Eventually we get to solid ground, but as we get closer to the frogs, we've got to quiet down.
The frogs are funny. When you get close, they'll hear you and they'll stop calling. Predator avoidance.
So when you count them, are you listening for how frequent or how loud? Or how do you count sound?
I'm just measuring presence and absence.
That means she would come out and just listen. What species was she hearing? Where were they?
Mm-hmm. Yep, the objective was to use them as biological indicators to assess the success and the health of the restoration, to kind of get the overall picture of wetland health.
Let's break down what that means with the help of Sarah Beth Clue-Mundy, herpetologist for the state's Department of Natural Resources. She says frogs and amphibians are important to monitor because they have semi-permeable skin, making them good environmental indicators, the proverbial canary in the coal mine.
Any kind of harmful chemicals that are in the environment are going to hit amphibians first. So if you see, you know, die-offs in amphibians, then we know that the quality is pretty poor.
And frog populations across the globe have been steadily declining. A lot of that, especially in the Midwest, is due to habitat loss.
And we used to have a lot more wetlands in Indiana, but a lot of them have been drained and turned into agriculture. But we really lost or could stand to lose a lot of our biodiversity if we don't have the wetlands.
So what grad student Emily Stulick was trying to do was use frog populations to see if the wetland restoration effort at Eagle Marsh worked. It may be wet again, but did the frogs come back? Are they really colonizing and breeding there?
I think that's great. I think we need more of that kind of monitoring to show people that, yes, our efforts are making a difference. And I think it's good also to point out that these kind of things don't happen overnight.
Clue-Mundy says it could take 5-10 years for more species to return. But with patience, restoration efforts can be a success. Back at the marsh, Emily Stulick explains her findings for some of the species.
I've shown in my research that they're occupying about 70% of the sites, and their population increased from year to year from 2013 to 2014. So they're doing really well.
Which is promising.
But on the other side, the other species of special concern, the Blanchard's cricket frog, is still really rare.
Emily Stulick's final takeaway? Eagle Marsh is supporting a healthy, viable amphibian population. But we all need to keep considering the importance of small wetlands, which can be delicate. Eagle Marsh can't bring back every missing native frog species, but for these scientists, it's a good start. For WBOY News, I'm Virginia Elvino.